John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome Professor John Yoo of the University of California at Berkeley Law School and a senior fellow at a number of institutions, a resident fellow at AEI, at the Hoover Institution, writing most recently about the decision or lack of decisions by the Democratic majority in the House of Representatives and the Senate to expand the court, what is known as court packing from the 1930s. However, I begin not with the most recent incidents. This would be the presentation by the House of Representatives chair of the Judiciary Committee and Senator Markey of Massachusetts in the Senate to expand the court. I begin with 2012. John, a very good evening to you. The memory of 2012 is that we were waiting for a decision from the Supreme Court in the summer of 2012 about Obamacare, particularly turning on the matter of the mandate that you had to buy this or there would be a penalty. And the presentation had been all year that it would turn on an interpretation of the Commerce Clause. The surprise was it didn't. That instead, Chief Justice John Roberts, writing the decision, the majority decision, said that the mandate, the individual mandate, was a tax, and therefore it would go forward as a tax, despite the fact that the Obama administration had quite clearly presented it as not a tax when the Obamacare was passed in 2010. The reason I bring this up is not to prove anything, but my memory that that story that John Roberts had invented this tax was attached to the prejudice that John Roberts had been intimidated by the Obama administration, intimidated by remarks by the president and the vice president and others, that if he undermined the Obamacare, there would be a penalty and that it would lead to discord in the United States. I don't ask for whether that's true or not. I just raise that as an example of politicizing the court. Is that politicization dangerous to us, or does it go on all the time, John? The old way of saying this is the Supreme Court reads the headlines. Good evening to you, John.
Good evening, and congratulations on your new show.
Thank you.
I'm glad you let some of your old guests come along with you. Well, you put your finger exactly on it, and actually, John, I would say you have revealed the secret of what's going on behind the Court Packing Commission, behind the legislation now proposed to increase the size of the court from 9 to 13, and that is because of what appeared to have occurred in 2012. You connected the dots. What happened in 2012 is President Obama, Senator Leahy, other leaders of the Democratic Party pressured the court and appeared to shift Chief Justice John Roberts from striking down Obamacare to suddenly upholding it on grounds that were not even really presented, on a theory which has no limit to it. If that is really true, then you can't lose if you're a Joe Biden or a Senator Markey or a Congressman Nadler in introducing court packing. Because even if you fail in your effort to increase the size of the court, you're still pressuring the court. You're still putting pressure on it, John Roberts. And hopefully that means that even with an originalist majority appointed by Donald Trump, this court won't be the one that overturns Roe versus Wade. This is not the court that's going to overturn parts of the stimulus bill. This is not going to be the court that might bring into doubt other decisions so beloved by the progressive left and might even help the progressive stand aside as the progressive left advances more of its agenda through this tenuous majority in Congress that they have.
A little history, John. It might help us. Before 1869, the court had different sizes, 5, 10. However, after 1869, it's been 9. It's been there for more than many decades, many epochs, many emergencies, most notably 1937, which you write about in your presentation. FDR, having won a great success in the elections of 36, started talking about adding more justices, perhaps up to 6, I think. I don't know. They entertained large numbers, and there was a bill in the Congress, a Congress completely dominated by the Democratic Party. No 50-50 in the Senate, no margin of 6 in the House, dominated. I mean, they had a majority that no one has ever come close to again. This is the depths of the Depression. Mm-hmm. However, FDR was said to be blunted in his wish. It was said to be unpopular, And it led to, afterwards, a lot of pushback on the New Deal. However, there is this other theme saying that FDR got what he wanted. He intimidated the court. Where do you foul on this, John? You've read this history very carefully. Did he intimidate the court, or did he suffer political setbacks?
Well, John, again, this is you're exactly right on this. Your reading of the history is the same reading, I think, that many progressive Democrats are bringing to this fight now, which is no matter what happens, they win. What's been said of FDR and his effort, his what people think of as a failed effort to pack the court, is that he lost the battle, but he won the war. And the reason why is because until 1937, the Supreme Court struck down a great deal of what we call the First New Deal. Things like the Agricultural Adjustment Act and the National Recovery Act. And in the election, FDR, as you said, won a stunning majority, two-thirds of the House, two-thirds of the Senate. FDR could have passed constitutional amendments if he wanted to. And so he proposed to expand the court. He lost. His own party turned on him. In fact, many historians say that in 1937, the New Deal came to a halt. It stopped expanding. But what really happened? The Supreme Court changed. The Supreme Court suddenly upheld every New Deal law that came to it, things like the Social Security Administration law, things like the National Labor Relations Act, Fair Trade Act, the minimum wage bills were suddenly upheld. And so this was famously called in court history the switch in time that saved nine. And so, the lesson that you could draw from that really is, even though FDR failed to expand the size of the Supreme Court, he so intimidated the conservative justices then that they turned their back on 50 years of constitutional jurisprudence and suddenly upheld nationalization of the economy and the end of economic due process rights. And we still live in that framework. We still live in the constitutional law that was established in the wake of FDR's assault on the court. FDR got what he wanted. He wanted the New Deal upheld. The court switched. And it did. So even though he did lose, he won the broader battle. And I think that's the perspective many progressives are taking to this. They'll win either way. They either get the court expanded and overturn, change the majority that President Trump put on it, or they'll so intimidate Chief Justice Roberts and maybe a Brett Kavanaugh into changing direction and upholding a lot of the same kind of nationalization, the same kind of disrespect for economic liberties that the progressive left wants.
Is it naive to presume that the judiciary was created as a separate branch of government to keep it out of politics? Or has it always been an extension of politics and it wears black robes to make a distinction between, you know, the well-dressed men in the Senate and the common-dressed men in the House, and we wear black robes? So I want to be properly cynical here, John. Are they political actors who just maintain the pretense of being constitutional lawyers?
You know, John, if the cynical John Batchelor were right, then I would say let the Democrats pack the court and let the Republicans pack the court. Because if they are playing politics with a small p, Republican versus Democrat politics, partisan politics, then they're just like another federal agency in the end. These cycles of court packing would go on. But the courts wouldn't deserve the kind of respect and independence we should want. But I don't think the courts, if they play a different kind of politics, they play the politics of ideology, not whether Republicans up, Democrats down, or vice versa, but they're playing larger fights over how do we interpret the Constitution? How do we give force to the separation of powers, to federalism? And the more important point, the larger point, and I think this is why no matter who's been in charge, no matter how many seats people have had in Congress, we haven't changed the number of Supreme Court seats since 1869 because I think both parties realized, at least the middle of both parties realized, there has to be an independent, neutral part of the government that calls fair and foul on the rules of the game. That says it has to set the line between how far can the federal government go, how far can the state governments go. If you politicized even that function, then you're going to have a fight, a race to the bottom, a fight amongst to the lowest common denominator. You won't be able to have meaningful, valuable politics. Politics gets much worse, much more partisan, much more destructive without some tribunal to be the umpire.
One more consideration. The Democrats are aware that history says you lose seats in the first midterm election after your candidate wins the White House. Is this Is this part of the consideration why it was proposed by Mr. Nadler and Mr. Markey, and yet immediately Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker, said, we're not ready for that. We're not going there. In other words, are they showing the flag without actually acting on it, or are they conscious of the fact that they only have so much time to do this, and they've got this weapon in their pocket, and they'll use it if they have to?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, John. I'm trying to look at it as if I was advising them in reaching their political goals. And, first, they're getting the ability to attack the court, pressure the court to move the way they want.
Right.
The second thing is it lays the groundwork for what they could do in 2022 if their majorities are larger. Suppose they get 5-6 seats in the Senate. They could. There's a lot of retirements on the Republican side. Suppose they counter history and they actually pick up seats in the midterm. It's happened a few times.
Yes.
Then they will have laid the factual and legal groundwork to justify expanding the court. I think it's more of a longer term game. I don't think they can get it done in the next 2 years because of the filibuster, although that's another thing that's going to come under attack. But I think it's more like laying the groundwork for something that they want to achieve during President Biden's first term.
Migration. We're going to turn to migration. A case argued before the Supreme Court, verbal arguments before the Supreme Court in these last days. John Yoo is a professor of law at the University of California at Berkeley, as well as at the Hoover Institution in AEI. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.